I encourage you to send in your questions. I'm down to two more. So I have two more left. And so if you have any particular questions that you have about the Bible or what the Bible says about something, just fill out a little piece of paper there in your bulletin, or just put a piece of paper in the offering plate with your question, and we will try to get to that question and what the Bible says about it. The question we're going to be dealing with today is found in Luke chapter 13. We're actually going to use Luke 13 as a springboard to answer the question. The question that was posed was dealing with catastrophic events that happen. And I guess ultimately the question is God punishing groups of people when something catastrophic happens, whether it's a flood in a particular region or whether buildings coming down? Is God punishing those people in those particular areas for sins that they did? Christ clarifies this in Luke chapter 13, and I want you to pick up and we'll just read the first five verses. Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him, that is Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. We know that this particular incident was a historical, was written in the histories. I think Josephus in particular, but others had written about this, in which Galileans had come to the temple to give worship. As they had come into the temple to give worship, there was a riot of sorts, and Pilate came in and he slaughtered them there at the place of their sacrifice. The question is, had they done something extremely bad if in fact they died and their blood mingled with their sacrifices? And he answered and said to them, "Well, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the Galileans because they suffered this kind of fate?" Jesus said, "I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And then he gives another incident. "Do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower of Siloam fell," from what we understand, a tower just fell on 18 people, and it killed them, and I think immediately people were going, "Well, they must have done something really bad for a tower just to fall on them. Worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." The passage is telling us that these incidences are not necessarily a focus on these particular people that God is bringing retribution upon. Then what is God doing and why are these things happening? We have a number of answers for you, and that's why we're using this as a springboard. There's a passage that deals with the fact that Satan is the god of this world. You might want to write it down. It's found in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 19. And it says this, that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. Now that's a pretty interesting phrase, isn't it? Because we know that God is sovereign over all, and yet man literally in the garden turned over the title deed to earth as God had given it to man, the earth. He said, "I want you to rule over the earth." Man subjects himself to the evil one, and now it becomes the deed indeed to the evil one. Because of this, Scripture tells us that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 1 calls him the destroyer. So what do you think the destroyer does for a living? There you go. He destroys stuff. He's at work destroying stuff. In fact, the Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 8 that God has literally set the world of this course in futility. And so what we're talking about is that this world is full of confusion and it's full of destruction. It's happening all around. It happens all the time. Passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says this, "Our God that we worship, is not a God of confusion, but of peace." So if there's confusion and there's mayhem and there's destruction, who do you think's behind it? So we know that there is a God that does this, and that is the evil one. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "But we in Christ have been delivered from the domain of darkness and has actually been transferred into the realm or the kingdom of God's beloved Son." Now what is that saying? What it's saying is that there are strange, hostile, unpredictable things that are happening in this world all the time. We know that there's a source behind that. Nevertheless, as you and I become Christians, even the difficulties that affect our lives no longer hurt us, in the sense of God will bring us safely home. So two things are literally happening all the time. The wicked are always going in pain and suffering and sorrow, even when good things happen to them. Just because somebody inherits a lot of money doesn't mean life's going well. In fact, many times life goes worse for them. So those who don't believe are in a realm of confusion. They're in a realm of dissonance. They're in a realm that is destructive. But when we receive Jesus Christ, even though this world is in turmoil, God puts us in the realm of His beloved Son. And Romans 8:28 says that God causes all things to work together for him who loves God and is called according to his purpose. And so God is working in our lives no matter how difficult or how terrible things happen. And so, yes, in every circumstance there will be probably a commingling of those that are God's children and those that are unbelievers. The unbelievers will always suffer loss in all that they do, even in success. The believers will always have victory in all that is done in their lives because they are God's and they've been delivered out of this kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. I just want to add this one thing also, that in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, and someone was telling me that they had heard pastors say that, well, it was something really bad and God was, punishing these people for this. And there's a great passage just found in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, and it says this, that God surely, it actually starts off this way, surely God does nothing unless he first speaks through his prophets. What I told them is, if God was bringing forth his wrath, which we know the wrath of God is coming, that's very clear, and we know ultimately that's going to be in Revelation. We know the wrath is coming, but what he was saying in the Old Testament is, when the wrath of God comes, you'll know it. You'll say, how will I know it? He says, because I'll send a guy to tell you that the wrath of God is coming. He sent a Noah. He even sent a Jonah to Ninevites, who were wicked people, to warn the Ninevites. And clearly God does nothing until he first sends his prophet. So if you hear a prophet in the street from God saying that there's something's going to happen, like a flood or something, or a lightning bolt's going to strike on a tower at a particular moment, then hey, I'd probably heed his call if in fact he's a godly man. But the fact of the matter is we know ultimately the wrath of God is going to come, the day is coming, and the prophecy has been proclaimed in the book of Revelation. The things that are now happening of great catastrophe is a result of the chaos of the God of this world, who is bringing in all kinds of problems. You and I don't have to worry if we're put our trust in the Lord, because he's going to cause all things to work together for good. Those who are wicked, even the good, they have to worry about. Father, I want to give you praise for your loving kindness and that you have brought us into a realm of safety and safekeeping. Our trust and our hope is in you. No matter what happens or what comes, we have a confident expectation that you are for us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.